brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Elizabeth Gordon, and today we have a great show for you. Dana Barrett is my producer over here, pushing all the right buttons, and we're broadcasting live from our downtown Atlanta, Georgia studio. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning.
Glad to have everybody here. As always, we've got a terrific show in store for you. Today's show is going to focus on FEI, the Atlanta Chapter, Financial Executives International. The Atlanta Chapter is the organization of choice for controllers, treasurers, VPs, finance, accounting, and chief financial officers, and may also be one of the best kept secrets in the Atlanta financial community. We have two guests from that organization with me today in the studio to talk about the Atlanta chapter, Jim Wanzerski, who is president of FEI and with Wanzerski and Associates Business Consulting Services. Jim, welcome to the show.
Elizabeth, happy to be here.
And Mike McCarthy is with us as well, vice president of FEI Atlanta and with World 50 Inc. Mike, nice to meet you.
Glad to be here.
Also, Paul O'Hearn is here. He's a partner with Burr and Foreman in their bankruptcy and litigation practice. Paul, glad to have you here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I want to find out more about FEI. We've heard about the organization, but like you said, it is one of the best kept secrets. So tell me more. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, Elizabeth, thanks for having us on this morning. FEI Atlanta is a chapter of a national association, again, for controllers, treasurers, VPs, finance, and CFOs. We're 15,000 members nationwide. We've got 250 members here in Atlanta. And again, this is an association of choice for the financial officer community here in Atlanta. So we're a bunch of finance and accounting types, really the finance leaders in the organizations. And we target public, private companies, government institutions, not-for-profit. Everybody is welcome to be a member, but you've got to be in one of those chairs to be an active member with FEI here in Atlanta.
So do people join as they become more senior, or do some of your members start being members very early on in their career? What's the demographic?
Good question. Yeah, we target those four positions. So once you hit the controller treasurer level, you're eligible to join. We do have, especially from some of the big companies, if you're a director of finance, on the path up, because many times a director of finance in a large company has the equivalent responsibility of a controller or VP finance in a medium-sized company. So we try and have people in the pipeline as well. But again, the primary targets are those four positions, but we certainly open up the gates for the other positions within the big companies as well.
Now, what's the vision and the objectives of the organization?
We basically do four things, at least here in Atlanta. I don't want to boil the ocean and talk about the national group too much, but here in Atlanta, we want to be the networking association of choice. So if a CFO has a business problem around, I need to change the provider for my 401k. So our objective is to make sure we've got a ready audience for B2B discussions between financial people in town. And that is probably the biggest benefit and the biggest reason we exist. You can't talk to your auditors anymore without getting in trouble sometimes. So we want to make sure we've got a very robust exchange of business-to-business issues that finance people can talk about, at the ready. And that's probably our target vision of choice.
So is this augment the experience that they get on the job and give them something that's different and in addition to what they would normally get in their professional development at their employer?
Clearly, because again, once you hit an officer position, you may have maintained your CPA certificate, but it's difficult to have confidential business-to-business discussion. Again, if you talk to your audit firms about a business issue, it's difficult to get a real answer without heading down the wrong path. So having a professional association network that you can talk to, that's the primary objective for the group.
Hey, Elizabeth, I'm playing referee over here. So, Jim, you said four things. Did you mention four things?
I was thinking we'd probably get into the other three, but that's the biggest. The other three, since you ask, is obviously we want to be the network of choice, and we've even established a roundtable called Trademarked Financial Executive Think Tank that is a roundtable of 14 to 15, you know, CFO-level people. We want to make sure that we are enhancing the knowledge of business issues here in Atlanta. Certainly, we want to grow the organization. And then we want to provide not continuing education, we call it executive education for our people. So we'll team up with our sponsors, and that's number four. Dana, and thanks for asking. Keep me honest here. But we provide executive education for our group through our sponsors and through some resources we've got access to here. So those are the four things. Those are the four things we do here in Atlanta.
So how big is the organization here in Atlanta and then also nationally mentioned as well?
Here in Atlanta, we're an organization of 250 professional people. Nationwide, we're about 14,000, 15,000 nationwide. I contend that since our prospect list here in Atlanta is several thousand, we know we've got an opportunity to grow this organization, but we've got 250 members here in Atlanta representing public, private, not-for-profit, and some of the, obviously the better-known companies in town as well.
Jim, how does your organization interact with accounting firms and law firms?
We've got about 10 sponsors, but we look to the public accounting firms, the law firms, the banks to be sponsors of our organization. So we try and limit each silo, if you will, you know, banks, lawyers, recruiting firms, et cetera, to two per silo so that our sponsors aren't seeing all of their competition every time they come to an FEI meeting. So we will gang up with those types of service providers as sponsors, and then we've got access to them. They've got access to us. And obviously there's a sponsor fee, but we found that's a good way to affiliate with the other members of finance in the community, and we can take advantage of each other.
But a member of an accounting firm normally wouldn't be part of your organization unless he or she had previously held one of the key positions you're talking about.
That's correct. Yeah. We want to make sure that there's people in the chair as the overwhelming majority in a meeting. But if somebody's been in one of those positions, they're eligible for membership. And let's face it, I'm now a consultant. So I wouldn't qualify today except that I've been in one of those positions before.
Now, Michael, I'm curious to your background. Let's bring you into the discussion as well. How long have you been involved with FEI?
I've been involved in FEI for about 15 years now. And what I really like about the organization is, you know, in Atlanta, we are primarily a middle market type of association. That means that we've got a lot of middle market companies. And in my world, which is CFO for a middle market company, the average job span is probably just under 3 years. So every 2 to 3 years or so, you got to be ready to kind of pick it up and move somewhere else. So, you know, it's a great organization for purposes of networking and idea sharing. And we also have some pretty nice programming events that we put on.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. Is mid-career change common in that field?
Yeah, absolutely.
And at that level, I guess.
Yeah, at the CFO level, again, I mean, the numbers I've seen are about every 3 years or so, you know, a CFO finds himself looking for another opportunity, and that's for a number of different reasons. You know, it could be that there's a new owner, could be that there's a new CEO brought on board, the business is sold, the business gets into financial trouble, any one of 100 different things could happen.
Elizabeth, especially in Atlanta, there's been a ton of large companies who've been acquired. You know, AT&T has picked up Bell South, you know. So especially in Atlanta, there's a lot of companies, a lot of consolidation has occurred. And obviously every time that happens, somebody's out.
I go from time to time to client trade organization meetings, and I'm always struck by the number of job interviews that are taking place early in the morning before the festivities get underway.
So there's a lot of people out there looking for better opportunities, whether some with more urgency than others. But networking in one's career is ultimately invaluable. Let's talk about some of the value that you have both derived personally and seen others derive as you've been involved in the organization from being a member of FEI.
I think maybe a good place to start is we do 8 dinner meetings, monthly dinner meetings from September to May. And we've had some outstanding speakers. Matter of fact, that is one of the draws to FEI. If you want to hear Ed Baker, the publisher of the Atlanta Business Chronicle, Steve Voorhees, the CFO of Rock 10, who did a major acquisition last year. We have an international panel we do every February. We have a private equity panel we do every March. And we're talking about the major players in town who participate in this. So, first of all, it's a great place to not only have some cocktails and a great dinner. We meet at Villa Christina, you know, this season, but it's an opportunity to talk with people that you wouldn't ordinarily get a chance to talk with, and there's an opportunity to mingle. And then the other thing is it's a target-rich environment for, you know, having some of those business-to-business discussions as well. So I kind of look at it's the opportunity to mingle with some great speakers and get them prepped to come visit with us. But again, the overwhelming of value is really to have a group of 250 people that you can draw on and say, hey, how did you handle this in your company? Or if I'm looking for somebody who is an expert in that, who would you recommend? A warm referral is the best referral.
Gotcha. And best practices can be shared across in the finance and accounting area across multiple industries. So talking to people in other industry sectors, you can learn things that you might not have seen in your sector. True?
It's all part of the networking. That once you get past the, hey, what do you think of those dogs, you can get into the business issues and items that are a benefit to you personally in your job.
Yeah, the nice thing is that at the monthly dinner meetings that Jim referred to, we've got a core of about 80 to 100 members or so that regularly attend. So you really get to know the regulars, if you will, and you develop those relationships. So that kind of spawns a lot of things from there. I mean, it spawns, you know, talking about business issues. You know, if you're looking for a job, the others are out there thinking of you, keeping you in mind, making introductions. So it's a real community.
Now, Paul, talking about the types of conversations that these VPs in finance and accounting and CFOs have over dinner and cocktails, I'm curious to know how your firm works with these types of professionals and counsels them through challenges that they see.
Well, I can tell you that one of the things I'm going to do when I leave this studio is talk to my firm's management about possibly approaching these folks about a sponsorship.
Good move.
We are a large regional corporate law firm. And these people are right in our sweet spot. The CFOs of middle market companies are basically our clients. While people think of a corporate law firm as working with the in-house counsel of some of these organizations, what we typically are dealing with is while the house counsel may hire us and pester us about our fees, the people who are actually our clients who we're interacting with and doing, you know, debt matters, equity offerings, you know, the various legal things that a corporation does, we are dealing with these people, with the CFOs, with the financial executives. Even when we're involved in a piece of litigation, it's the CFO who we're going to be talking to about the impact of the litigation, about the validity of claims, about the valuation of certain things in the litigation. So we not only do we deal with these people, they are our primary clients for our corporate people. Now, we also represent a number of banks and financial institutions, in which case we're the folks on the other side of the table usually giving the CFO a hard time. But at the same time, they are people that we interact with on a regular basis.
Right. I mean, as a bankruptcy and litigation attorney, Stanford Law 74, you've got extensive experience representing financial institutions, asset-based lenders, real estate lenders, and also, as you said, Chapter 11, debtors, trustees, creditors, committees. How do you value being able to understand what's going on both sides and enabled you to help your clients?
Well, in terms of, by the way, thank you for the plug, but in terms of the interaction with corporate CFOs type, you know, people, a good deal of our interaction in any large corporate reorganization, whether we are representing the lender or whether we are representing the borrower, is dealing with either the accountants or the CFOs, because the key issue in any large corporate reorganization, as it is in for a healthy corporation, is the value of the company. It is the validity of the financial records. The how much can you rely on these receivables? How much can you rely on this valuation for this inventory? How much you know is this really the financial snapshot of the company? And when you're involved in actually going to court to argue over that, that's all you're arguing about in a large corporate Chapter 11 are the issues that these people, you know, are the experts on.
So what types of conversations would I overhear over dinner and drinks at an FEI meeting as you're hearing, you know, VPs and controllers and CFOs discuss what's going on in their company?
Let me give you one example on it. And this came, normally we allow each sponsor to sponsor one event during the year, and they get a couple of minutes at the podium to talk about why FEI is important to them. But we had an interesting occurrence at our, I think it was our October meeting, Mike, if I remember correctly. We actually had a member get up to the podium and say, look, here's what we did. We went looking for a new audit firm. We went looking for a new insurance broker. And we went looking for a new advisor in our banking processes. And, oh, by the way, we did this selection blind. We sent out RFPs. And interestingly enough, three of the top four that they ended up selecting were FEI sponsors. So when a member says we threw business at a sponsor, it says maybe we've got the right people associated with us. So again, there's an opportunity to not only deal face to face with each other on business issues, but there's an opportunity to deal face to face with some sponsors who have valuable services that we're looking to buy on a recurring basis.
Interesting. So why is a financial officer organization beneficial to the sponsors and to the community in general?
You know, I guess what I'd say is that, you know, we let certain individuals come on board and be our sponsors. And at the same time, we try to limit that. Okay, we limit that for a couple of different reasons. I mean, because number one, we don't want to have, you know, every accounting firm in town would probably like to be a sponsor of our organization. But this is about the members, so we limit it. Okay. And at the same time, it is a... Technically, it's a non-commercial environment. I mean, it's not like you've got your sponsors there, you know, asking for business all the time. But I think what it does is you get to have relationships with the accountants, with the attorneys, and then when something comes up, they're top of mind.
Absolutely. Well, it's the relationships that are the most valuable. Anybody can give me a pamphlet, but form a relationship with me, and that's where business tends to transact. So would you say that a lot of business does transact between members and member companies?
Well, Elizabeth, let's put it this way. We're the people who control the checkbooks. So we want to do business with people who can make a difference, who know how to sell to senior people and deal with us. But we also want to make sure that we're bringing value to our companies. And so if we've got the checkbook and we've got access to other people who've looked at similar problems, we want to make sure we've got the full value of members and our peer network group, as well as some service providers who make sense to us.
Elizabeth, can I jump in? I have a question.
I love it when you have a question.
It's been bugging me the whole time because you guys started out by saying you were one of the best kept secrets in Atlanta. So I'm just wondering if that's on purpose. Or are you looking for new ways to kind of market yourselves to find some more of those people that are in those chairs to join the organization? Because you also said that number three on the list was to grow the organization.
Let's put it this way, and Mike can back me up here. But when Mike and I took over a couple of years ago, we had just finished what we call a long-term planning process. We're looking for, you know, what do we want to be when we grow up? And we've been around Atlanta since 1944, okay? And so we did and obviously we were doing annual surveys, but what we found is through some PR research, this PR firm went and interviewed 80 non-members, And almost 100% of those 80 non-members said, well, who's FEI and what do you do? So just like you're saying, Dana, we then figured, well, we've got a market awareness problem. So we started advertising with the Atlanta Business Chronicle. We have triangular half-page ads, and that's how we advertise our events. We go through the Atlanta Daybook, some of the electronic things. We do direct mail. We have sponsors, contact prospects. We look at it as it's a series of 15% solutions to grow that market awareness. Because if you don't know we're here and you don't know the value we provide, we got to get the word out.
Is there a size of the organization that becomes too much, or is there no limit?
We would like to have so many members that we've got to meet at the Cobb Galleria because that's the only place that could hold us. But again, with a prospect list of 6,000 people just in Atlanta, and we should be really the FEI organization of Georgia, not of Atlanta, but we've got an opportunity to grow. And let's face it, if we're that big, every sponsor operating in the Southeast would want to do business with us because we'd be a target-rich environment. But we get to pick.
Go ahead, Mike. I'd also say, Dana, that in addition to the awareness issue, finance and accounting executives also by nature, we work a lot of hours, and it's like, man, that's sometimes the last thing I want to do is one more network meeting. I'd rather go home and watch the ball game. So, I think we've got probably the more progressive financial executives because, again, every 2 to 3 years, guys like me are turning chairs, and boy, it sure helps be known in town when you're looking for that next opportunity.
Absolutely.
What about the size of the organization? Mike said earlier that you tend to be mostly middle market folks, but do you also have the large corporate CFOs, and is that a target market for you?
We've got members from Coca-Cola, Southern Company. We've had people from McKesson, some of the major companies in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, I met with a couple of the large company CFOs recently because I wanted the answer to that very question, Paul. I said, what could be of value to the big companies in town? And they shall remain nameless, but two of these CFOs asked me the question, well, Jim, how big is your budget for FEI? And I gave him the number. He says, well, how are you going to compete with, the big public accounting firms, which is where, I participate in research and executive education. So we look at the big companies in town as that's one of our opportunities to have roundtables with them, get three of the big CFOs in town, have them come do a panel discussion. And let's face it, every mid-sized company in Atlanta wants to come here, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, and Rock 10. And so we've looked at a place where we're going to use them as part of our programs, but they're more than willing to help. I mean, I've sat in North American CFO office at Coca-Cola, and Larry said, how can I help you?
It's good to know the right people in town. Speaking of the sponsors that we've mentioned, why they would be involved in the organization, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give them a plug now and tell us who are the other organizations that are involved with FEI from a sponsor standpoint.
Mike, let me take a few of them, and you can give your comments on the second half. But we have a group of about 10 sponsors. We gravitate towards them because they know how to deal with senior people. So we've got Accountants One, a recruiting firm here in town, ADP. Obviously, everybody knows them, the payroll company. BDO is a public accounting firm here in Atlanta. Experis Financial is a contract consulting and project accounting firm. And then another public accounting firm is Fraser and Dieter. Mike, maybe you can take the rest of them.
Sure. PNC Bank is a regular sponsor of ours. We've got Houlihan Lokey, the middle market investment banking firm here in town and also nationally. Protivity is a sponsor of ours, Sterling Risk Advisors, Tatum CFOs, Western Union, and Womble Carlyle, the law firm.
And Robert Half is also in a joint sponsorship with us with Protivity because they're sister companies.
Now, Jim, you made an interesting point. There is something that you have to know, and there is a difference in dealing with the senior level people, especially in the financial silo. What is it that a company or an individual needs to know about those types of people?
You mean in terms of the sponsors?
Yes.
And how they operate? Yeah, I mean, let's face it. These are financial officer people. As Mike said, we all work long hours. We've got to take care of the guy or gal in the corner office. And when we come to an event, we want to, you know, have a couple of refreshments, have a good dinner, hear a good speaker, and talk with the people we want to talk to. But our sponsors know how to sell to senior people. They'll have a conversation about football, and then maybe they'll mention, you know, look, I wanted to ask you about how you're dealing with this. Or maybe it's a member who says, you know, I'm really frustrated by, you know, one of the transactions that went through my bank. Maybe we need to talk about farming out some of our business. Or maybe we need some guidance about a tax issue or a legal issue. And to me, the value and the smart people know that you have those follow-up conversations with senior people. You tee it up at the meeting, but you follow up later because you got to make sure the interest is there.
Is there anything that you feel you cannot do at your meetings? For instance, do your lawyers ever get on you about any trust concerns, collusion, price fixing, anything of that nature?
We've certainly had those topics in some panel discussions we've had, Paul. We obviously don't talk about other competitors and things like that. But again, private conversations at the dinner table, we've got to be sure the conversation is going. But to be an FEI member, we've got a code of conduct we agree to by becoming a member. And there's some pretty specific things on how to operate as a financial officer in the business community.
Right. And as a CFO, a middle market CFO, my phone is ringing all the time with you know, somebody wanting to sell you something, vendors. I mean, whether it's commercial insurance brokers who want to meet you and take you out for lunch, whether it's the, you know, the law firms, whether it's the accounting firms, the real estate brokers. I mean, the CFO is a target for a lot of those vendors. So, again, I think what, you know, FEI, the organization, has is, look, it's a way to get to mix with those decision makers, and again, you're top of mind, so that, you know, when something comes up, we need a new insurance broker, or we're looking for, you know, an accountant to work on a project with us, or whatever it is. I mean, that doesn't mean that you get the job, but you're likely going to be on the short list, and I think that's what our sponsors see.
Absolutely, there's a lot of value there, and it's certainly valuable to have you all as an audience. So, really excited to learn more about the organization. What is the meeting schedule look like when all of these high powered CFOs get together for these FEI meetings?
Yeah, we meet once a month, again, from September through May. We skip December because of the holiday season, but we'll have cocktails from 5:30 to 6:30. We'll have everybody seated for dinner 6:30 to 7. We'll have our speaker come on shortly after 7 till about 8 o'clock. And we try and have people out of there by 8 just because, like Mike said, they've got families, they've got other interests, and we want to get folks home. So that's kind of the logistics.
So since I've got two finance guys and a bankruptcy lawyer in front of me, I want to ask another question. What do you guys think about the economy and what's going on? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, let me just give the real quick bankruptcy lawyer situation. Those of us who are involved in digging the graves in the graveyard don't know why the bodies are coming in the front door, so I can't really predict much of anything.
Yeah, I'd probably second that, but it looks like continued slow slog from what we're experiencing, and you know, it's the new normal probably.
Yeah, I think not to exhibit any political persuasion, but obviously there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. There's a lot of uncertainty for business, and companies are going to be cautious because we need leadership and clarity out of Washington, and we need Washington to run itself like a business too, if you don't mind me saying so.
You use the word uncertainty because these two political parties today collectively could not create more uncertainty in the business community if they had worked hard and designed their efforts in that direction.
And who got us to this place in the first place?
Absolutely. The uncertainty of today's economy is something we're all challenged with, and that's why it's so important to have a valuable network, know the right people, and be in the know about what's going on. So how do other financial officers find out more about FEI in Atlanta?
Jim, our FEI website is
FEIAtlanta.org. The office telephone number is 404-978. I should have this at the tip of my tongue.
We'll post it on the website. It's okay.
Yeah, 404-681-9878. But the easiest way to get to know who we are and what we do is www.feiatlanta.org, and there's a wealth of material out there for you. And if that doesn't answer your questions, the people at our office can aim the other questions at Mike and myself.
And for those of you who want the world's greatest regional corporate law firm, it's Burr, BURR.com.
Thanks, Paul. We're not done yet, though, folks. As you all know, we always like to end the Results Matter show by talking about results. So now is our results segment. I'm going to give each one of you one more opportunity to talk about the results that matter to you. So, Jim, let's start with you.
Well, in terms of FEI, we want to increase that market awareness, which we're, again, we've got 6 or 7 15% solutions cooking. We are the best-kept secret in town, but we are a professional association of senior financial officer people. And if you want to find out what's going on in finance and accounting in Atlanta, we're the place to come to.
Awesome. Mike?
I guess I would just second that. FEI Atlanta, you know, again, 80 to 100 people a month come to our meetings. Great speakers, great camaraderie. Love to have you come down.
Terrific.
How's the food?
Check out FEI.
Food's great too.
Food's good too. All right, just
Paul,
checking.
Closing comments for
well,
us.
Well, as you know, Results Matter is part of our marketing materials at Burr & Foreman. We feel that as a mid-size regional corporate law firm, people come to us not because they want to litigate forever, not because they want everything researched. They come to us because they want results. And that has been a theme of our law firm, Results Matter.
Absolutely, they sure do. Thank you all for tuning in for another great show. We had a terrific discussion today with the Financial Executives International Association Atlanta chapter. Check out feiatlanta.org. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and we're talking results.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.